Today on JSecuo Live, the impeachment hearings, the public hearings continue. And it is a whole lot of he said, she said, but pretty clear what Donald Trump, our president, didn't say. We'll talk about it today on JSecuo Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., JSecuo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to JSecuo Live. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. This is obviously for Democrats one of the most key days, if not the most key day. In fact, a lot of the testimony, you can question there whether it was the right decision to go this long before having this witness testify, was a buildup to this witness. If you remember yesterday, a lot of the questions were about the interactions that those two individuals had, Morrison and Volker, with this witness, Gordon Sondland. He is currently testifying. He's the ambassador from the U.S. to the European Union. He's been at the kind of heart of all the conversations, is a direct political appointee confirmed by the Senate. He was overwhelmingly confirmed by the U.S. Senate in a voice vote. So that's 100-0, I guess you kind of consider that. And what I think has to be made clear is that though there was some confusion about his earlier testimony today, he has made it, and this just happened the last few minutes, right. He has made it abundantly clear that the president never, ever ordered him to do this quid pro quo or that there was some specific tie to an aide. He has kind of said, I interpreted things this way. But, well, when he was asked, what did the president ever say? Take a listen.
Did the president ever tell you personally about any preconditions for anything?
No.
Okay, so the president never told you about any preconditions for the aide to be released?
No.
The president never told you about any preconditions for a White House meeting?
Personally, no.
I think that to me speaks volumes. So, yeah, in your prepared statement, you could say, you know, you give kind of this overview. That's what prepared statements really are. But then you get into the particular, and in this particular case, it's, was there a statement where the president said, the aide, I'm going to tie that aide up until they do such and such? And the answer consistently was a whole pattern of these. We'll say no, it was no. But that also coincides with what took place yesterday, too, when they were asked specific questions about this. So, again, you've got to put all of this into context to get a clear understanding of what's really at play here. And, of course, we're only a couple hours as we're coming to you live. We're only a couple hours into this.
Yes, but I think that what was made clear, remember, this is the witness who is the only one, really, who's had direct contact with the President of the United States. And they were playing up that this guy was like had a ton of contact, and now we found out today not so much.
He said not so much.
He actually said, from time to time,
sometimes he takes my call, sometimes he did not.
Yeah, and he said that basically they talked about all the substantive times. It was like a handful of times, and he has interpreted things and this and that. But I just want everybody to know, as of now, unless something changes, unless there's something we don't know about some other witnesses, this was their best witness to try and convince the country that the president directly ordered something that was inappropriate. And what we have heard clearly from this witness and his testimony under oath is that he's the one that would have ever had the contact with the president, and the president never did.
Harry, what's your takeaway on that?
Well, my takeaway is precisely, it follows along the lines of Jordan's analysis. And so let's look at a couple of questions. Did President Trump, according to Ambassador Sondland, condition military aid on launching an investigation of the 2016 campaign? No. Was the president primarily interested in understanding what role, if any, Ukraine played in launching the U.S. investigation into the Trump campaign? Yes. But there is no conditions tied to any of these meetings. At no quid pro quo is the takeaway from my analysis.
All right, we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110.
Yeah, 1-800-684-3110. Remember our matching challenge, month of November, whatever you donate, we've got a team of donors. They're ready to match that, but you've got to make the initial donation. Go to aclj.org. Donate today. You could double the impact of your donation. That's aclj.org. Remember, take your phone calls, too. You have questions, comments, 1-800-684-3110.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at ACLJ.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
All right, 1-800-684-3110. I actually want to go right to the phones. I think this is a great call because the spin off this from the mainstream media has been absurd. I've only seen some honest reporting. I'll tell you, I got in the Politico morning email this morning. They were honest. This has not moved the needle at all on for either side. So,
well, especially, I mean, if you look at where they've gone moment to moment, I think that's 100% correct.
So the Republicans are not going to change their mind. And if the Democrats can't get any Republicans to change their mind, the most they can do is do an impeachment in the House, and this dies in the Senate. And the president ultimately gets acquitted in the Senate, found not guilty in the Senate, and that's a narrative that will then enter into the election cycle.
How do you think that does that play into the election cycle? That's an interesting dynamic.
Usually the party that tries an impeachment and it fails gets very damaged in the election.
Yeah.
And they are punished by the American voter for trying to mess with the president that they elected when it's not for a good reason. And we've seen that in the past.
Especially, Than, this close to a general election. I mean, you're now 11 months out. 11 months in a week.
Yeah, I mean, well, if you take a high-level macro view, what Jordan's saying is certainly true, but then you see it in specific terms if you go down to the districts that are involved. I mean, we've talked about it on this broadcast before, Jay, but 31 districts that are represented by Democrats who also voted to put the president in office, and 8 of them voted for the president by a margin of 10% or more. Typically what happens, Jay, is voters decide between those two extremes, so to speak, or at least political choices. In this case, if this is the process that you're going to see and Democrats are going to push impeachment over the line, I would look for those 31 districts to reelect the president and potentially overturn those seats to Republicans in the House. Those are the places where I think the political impact happens.
It's such a risky political move. I mean, I still think it's the risk on political movement here is just unreal. Let's go ahead and take that call, Jordan. I think you're right.
Yeah, let's go to Charlie calling from Illinois on line one. Charlie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Charlie.
You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I love your show.
Thanks.
My question is, why is it and how is it that the media are allowed to put their own spin on things, put false stories out, and the people are buying into that? What is that going to do to the election coming up?
You got to combat it with other media. I mean, look, this is you live in a constitutional republic. People have free speech. So one of the things you have to do, Harry, when you've got this, is that's why we're trying to analyze the facts on this broadcast. But look, there's opinion journalism, there's news journalism. That you've got a whole series of places to get information from. We're glad you're here getting information from us. But the truth of the matter is that, look, you got to, and you need to look at the information yourself. Now, granted, most people cannot spend 8 hours a day looking at these hearings.
I mean, no one lets this is their job. Right. I mean, so if you're not, if this is not in your job title, like you're not a news producer, political, even if you were running other campaigns, you can't spend, I mean, listen, if you're a Democrat candidate's campaign staff, you can't spend 8 hours watching this.
Campaigning.
Well, yeah, and they've got a debate tonight. I mean, so, I mean, literally, the only people that can spend all the time on is it senator staff can't, they've all said it. They've got stuff that they've got to do. I mean, they may have one person assigned to it. So it does come down to kind of how the media spins it. But what do we know from that? At this point, the American people are very divided on their trust in the media. So, yes, the media can try to spin this narrative of this was this, this was bombshells. This was, these aren't.
So
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, American media. No, this is not. This is very difficult to follow for the American people.
Oh, the media,
the timeline is all over the place. They decided to cut half the hearings out yesterday on their own,
right?
Because it was getting dull. And I think after the offer of three times to be the Ukrainian Secretary of Minister of Defense didn't go over so well with their. Well, that was their second big, you know, witness next to Sondland. It was going to be.
Don't hear a lot about him anymore.
The Lieutenant Colonel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me play. I want to play both of these. I want to play, again, the Minority Counsel Steve Castor questioning Ambassador Sondland on the specifics of what the president did. You know, always like to say, what did the president know? When did he know it? That's the famous, those are the famous lines. But this is important. Then I'm going to play what took place yesterday. But let's first, again, play this one. Set it up. This is number 83.
Did the president ever tell you personally about any preconditions for anything?
No.
Okay, so the president never told you about any preconditions for the aid to be released?
No.
The president never told you about any preconditions for a White House meeting?
Personally, no.
Okay, no, no, no. Now, yesterday, two witnesses, Morrison and Ambassador Volker, they were asked a series of questions also. Take a listen.
Did Ukraine open an investigation into the Bidens, Mr. Morrison?
Not to my knowledge, ma'am.
Ambassador Volker?
Not to my knowledge either.
Did either of you ever have any evidence of quid pro quo, Mr. Morrison?
No, ma'am.
Ambassador Volker?
I did not.
Any evidence of bribery?
No, ma'am.
No, ma'am.
Any evidence of treason?
No, ma'am.
No evidence of treason.
With that, I yield back.
Yeah, no wonder. I mean, so there you have it. I mean, so we are again looking at, in my view, even with the testimony today, so far, Harry, we are looking at a policy dispute.
Absolutely, and there is...
And how to get to the right result in the policy.
Based on the evidence so far, the clear conclusion any impartial observer must reach is that there was no explicit connection between aid or some meeting with the president of Ukraine that was tied to the launching of an investigation in the Ukraine. That's number one. Number two, it is also clear beyond question that President Obama, or at least his appointees, were interested in launching an investigation in Ukrainian corruption. Corruption is endemic in the Ukraine, and clearly any president, President Trump, President Obama, President Bush, President Clinton, should be interested in rooting out corruption in the Ukraine. But I think it is clear beyond question, certainly for present purposes, that the president never explicitly asked Ambassador Sondland or anyone else to condition anything with respect to Ukraine on the launching of an investigation.
This is interesting because, you know, Ambassador Sondland was trying to put this kind of blame on the State Department, saying the State Department won't give me access to files that aren't mine. By the way, if you listen closely, he was talking about not his files,
State Department
other
files.
People's files.
Right.
And this is because he decided not to assert executive privilege and to break through that. And so the State Department's saying, well, you've got your documents. But this is interesting. This just happened. This was his question from the minority counsel, Castor, to Sondland, because he kept bragging, like, I don't take notes. I don't know anything. Well, the Republicans have picked up on this, though.
Yes.
Byte 92, take a listen.
You know, we have all this, you know, back and forth, but, you know, as we get to the end here, you don't have records, you don't have your notes, because you didn't take notes, you don't have a lot of recollections. I mean, this is the trifecta of unreliability. Isn't that true?
Well, what I'm trying to do today is to use the limited information I have to be as forthcoming as possible with you and the rest of the committee And as these recollections have been refreshed by subsequent testimony, by some texts and emails that I've now had access to, I think I filled in a lot of blanks.
Yeah, you filled in a lot of blanks with speculation. I mean, this is the problem. Yeah, you know, did you have conversations with the president about this? Did the president say no? You know, here the aid. We're not going to give the aid unless we have a situation where we have the investigations open. No, I never had that. Did you ever have a conversation where you said no meeting without the aid? No, but I thought maybe those things could happen. Again, to try to turn this into an impeachment, Professor Hutchison, of a president of the United States is not only a stretch, it's really, this is, again, absurd.
Absolutely, and it's clearly absurd to base it on any of the testimony of Ambassador Sondland, because he has clearly and affirmatively indicated that there are a lot of blanks out there, some of which have been filled in. But you do not impeach a president for a high crime and a misdemeanor grounded in testimony that is riddled with blanks.
Yeah, and by the way, Will Haynes just pointed this out, because Jordan, you said that this is their star witness, so... Yeah. Quote, limited information is the star witness for impeachment.
A trifecta of unreliability. And in his own words, he has limited information. And this is supposed to be the guy, as you said, who's going to provide the info to justify an impeachment of the U.S. president in an election year. That means the removal, ultimately what the Democrats in the House are saying is they would like the Senate to remove the president during the trial from office that you elected. And they try to say, well, hey, why do they complain so much about this Republican? I saw some Democrat late last night at the end of the hearings, you know, the backbenchers, if you will, and he was complaining about this. Well, don't Republicans say, you know, it's in the Constitution. Yes, it is. For real issues that the American people unite around, typically, where they say this was wrong and something should be done, regardless of my political feelings or beliefs. When it looks totally partisan, when your head witness says he's got limited info, he's the trifecta of unreliability, and he doesn't push back on that. The lawyer for the minority counsel says, you are the trifecta of unreliability. You brag about never taking notes. You have no documents. You have no recollection. This is the witness we're going to let be the star. This is why the Democrats are failing the country right now and have failed to convince anyone. Yeah, I mean, like,
let me just tell you what is being. We got to verify this, but this is what supposedly Mark Short, the president, Vice President's chief of staff, said. Ambassador Gordon Sondland was never alone with Vice President Pence on September 1st trip to Poland. This alleged discussion recalled by Ambassador Sondland never happened. I'm just reporting what they're saying, folks.
He's got nothing to back it up, Sondland.
Limited information.
Because he's got no notes.
All right,
he doesn't take any notes.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at aclj.org.
end of the month concert coming up for the band, so a little rehearsal tonight to get that ready. We're going to do that at the end of the month. It'll be fun, a lot of new tunes. But let me go to Stan Bennett on this because I think this is important. And I want to get Than's take on what's happening across the street, but he said something very interesting. Go ahead, Than.
Well, there's been several lines of questioning both today and yesterday, Jay, asking what the president was actually quoting from. And the questions have revolved around whether or not the president asked for a quid pro quo. And all of these witnesses have said that no, the president never asked them for a quid pro quo. But to me, Jay, the most telling response came from Ambassador Sondland today when he was pressed about, okay, well then, what exactly did the president say to you? And Ambassador Sondland said that the president was actually angry at the question, and the president didn't say anything about not wanting a quid pro quo. He said this, Jay. He said, "I want nothing." That's what the president asked for, Jay. The president asked Ambassador Sondland for nothing.
Yeah, we're going to get that bite. We've got it. Let's play it.
Why don't you tell us, what did the president say to you on September 9th that you remember?
Well, words to the effect, I decided to ask the president the question in an open-ended fashion because there were so many different scenarios floating around as to what was going on with Ukraine. So rather than ask the president 9 different questions, is it this, is it this, is it that, I just said, what do you want from Ukraine? I may have even used a 4-letter word. And he said, I want nothing. I want no quid pro quo. I just want Zelensky to do the right thing, to do what he ran on, or words to that effect. And that gave me the impetus to respond to Ambassador Taylor with the text that I sent. As I said to Mr. Goldman, it was not an artfully written text. I should have been more specific, put it in quotes, something like that. But basically, I wanted Ambassador Taylor, to pick up the ball and take it from there. I had gone as far as I could go.
So, I mean, there you have it. I mean, I think that kind of points to where we are.
Yeah.
Kind of sums it up.
Yeah, I think that that's it. I mean, to me, the president saying directly, I don't want anything.
Just do what he said he ran
nothing.
On.
Nothing.
Why is that, Harry, controversial? And well, by the way, we got a good question coming up. We're going to get to this one about investigations and corruption and those kind of things, but go ahead.
Well, it isn't controversial, but it's also important to keep in mind that the capacity of Democrats to create fictional circumstances or fictional inferences seems unlimited. So they've had a particular narrative, and they've tried to stick with it. They keep changing the end game. First it's quid pro quo, then it's extortion, then it's bribery, then it's something else, then it's abuse of power, then it's obstruction of justice. But I think we should all keep in mind this one fact. Many Democrats were committed to impeaching this president before he was inaugurated.
No, there's no question about that. So I think that the reality is, I mean, the way I view it right now is that this is a witness that, again, is kind of giving testimony clearly that the president did not direct any quid pro quos and did not authorize the withholding of advice. I mean, I think it's pretty good. I think it's pretty clear. Also interesting is that NBC and ABC are on regular programming now.
He said no quid,
only CBS still airing it currently. And why is that? Go ahead,
Jordan.
Because
he said no quid pro quo because he said nothing ever happened because after his opening statement, which was kind of the roughest sounding moment for the president throughout this whole thing, honestly, once he was actually asked direct questions about quid pro quos and what did the president ever direct you to do, and this was the only guy who talked to the president ever, who's testifying. We've only heard from 3 people who were on the phone call, 1 who's ever spoken to the president of the United States who's testifying. And the president is saying clearly, I want nothing. Just tell them, do what they said they were going to do, and then you know we'll figure it out from there. And by the way, I think Devin Nunes laid it out well, what we've talked about this whole time. The Ukrainian government, previous to the Zelensky government, but there were holdovers, just like there are in every government, was running an opposition campaign to President Trump's candidacy in the United States publicly by writing op-eds in newspapers.
They were
working with the dossier.
The ambassador was criticized for that.
Yeah, yes. And that came up again today is that and Devin Nunes went through all of the times. So to try and make it like it was not part of his, this is official duties. I mean, you were talking about they were directly, what does it mean if they were going after the president? Well, it doesn't just mean the president's upset with them for doing that. It means they were interfering in U.S. elections. Just like if you were mad that the Russians were doing election interference, it doesn't matter what side they were on. the president's job would be to tell them, knock it off, don't ever do that again, and you better investigate the people who were. Because we had it, as I think it was as the congressman said today, in plain sight. Take a listen, Byte 89.
It's an inconvenient truth that the Democrats don't want to admit. It's their operatives that were dirtying up the Trump campaign using Ukrainian sources in 2016, and they do not want us to get to the bottom of it. They don't want you, Ambassador, to get to the bottom of it. They don't want the president's personal attorney, even though he's under a special counsel investigation that they fed into the FBI that we've dealt with for over 3 years. They don't want to get to the bottom of that, Ambassador.
All right, so there you have it. I mean, I think this is becoming evident. Let's go ahead and take another call, 800-684-3110. I want to get your reaction. It's very important for us on the next half hour. I really want to hear from our audience. And you do this by Facebook. You can get your comments in, Twitter, whatever it might be. We want to hear from you. What's your reaction to this now going on day four or five of the hearings? 800-684-3110.
All right, let's go to Phyllis calling in from New York on Live 4. Phyllis, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Phyllis.
Thank you. I heard someplace, I don't know if it was on your program or on Fox News, and I've heard it only once, that the National Defense Authorization Act requires the president to pursue information on integrity in countries receiving U.S. aid.
Yep.
Is this true? And if so, why doesn't this shut this whole thing down?
Well, it is true. I mean, you don't just, I mean, Harry's shaking his head. I mean, there's an affirmative, you know, when you got to faithfully execute the laws of the United States, that's one of the laws of the United States.
Absolutely. So the president was exercising, A, his constitutional power. He was complying with his statutory authority under the Constitution. And in addition, there is an anti-corruption treaty between the United States and the Ukraine. So there are many legal bases for the president's interest in rooting out corruption in the Ukraine, in addition to which, as I've mentioned earlier, President Obama was interested in rooting out corruption in the Ukraine. Everyone has basically suggested that the Ukrainian government, the Ukrainian system is rife with corruption. And I think before we send any more aid and dollars to the Ukrainian government, we need to get to the bottom of corruption in the Ukraine.
All right. Again, folks, I think as we get into the second half hour, we want more of your comments. 1-800-684-3110.
I really think it's important to hear from the audience.
Yeah, because people have now had, I think you had a chance. You've heard from a lot of different witnesses, a lot of different testimony. You've seen the media spin on it. You've seen Democrats spin. Hey, you've seen Republicans spin on it. So what's your takeaway from this? What are your friends' takeaways from it? Is anybody talking about this? And how are they talking about it? I guess people are. How are they talking about it? I would really like to know that. So give us that insight from across the country. And let our listeners also, you're helping all the listeners know, like, what's happening in your state, what's happening in your community when you have these conversations. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We got a second half hour coming up, 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget our matching challenge at aclj.org. Whatever you donate is matched by our donors. So you're doubling the impact of your donation when you donate the month of November at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right. 1-800-684-3110. Phone lines are pretty full right now. We did a big ask because we wanted to hear from people. You know, you don't have to break down every moment for us. We're not asking you to do that because I think that's an impossible task for most people out there, even if you've got time to listen to our broadcast and be involved in the broadcast by calling in. What we really want to know from our callers and the listeners today is, okay, this has been, you've had a weekend, maybe you've seen friends at church, family, you're going into Thanksgiving next week. Great time for not having political discussions, right? Thank you, Democrats, for having these hearings right before Thanksgiving if you didn't want to talk politics at the Thanksgiving table. But at the same time, what we really want to know from you is, what are people saying about it? How do you interpret it? How does your family interpret it? Like your husband, your wife, your friends, your family, the people in your community. And we're going to go through and take people's phone calls about that, 1-800-684-3110. This is now the as we speak.
Yeah.
We have the, again, it's Ambassador Sondland. He is the U.S. Ambassador to the European Union, confirmed by the Senate by a voice vote. That means
he had bipartisan
support. He had never testified before.
Nope.
This is his first time ever. Than that was interesting, too. This is someone who got, because his confirmation was by voice vote, even though it's a pretty big post.
It was a big post.
Because you can interact with all of Europe, basically, including the countries like Ukraine, who want to become EU members.
Right.
And so you've got this big portfolio, but they never brought him in to testify. So the first time he's ever done this is, I guess, the closed-door deposition in today.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they had a chance to scrutinize him and essentially declined to, or those who looked at him had no objection to him. And look, Jordan, I would just answer your question this way. I mean, I think at bottom line, most Americans are going to look at this and see very complex diplomatic dialogues conducted at the highest level. And you're going to see all of these witnesses that viewed them from differing perspectives and vantage points. And they might have slightly different recollections of what happened. Jordan, I think they're going to view this ambassador as one of the least reliable, though, just by his own testimony, saying, look, if I could access my notes, if I could access my testimony, I might be able to give you more reliable explanation. But Jordan, even if this were the only testimony, even if this were the absolute truth, what you basically got is him saying, look, I wasn't totally comfortable with the arrangement that was there, but the president himself said that he wanted nothing in return except for what President Zelensky had campaigned on. Jordan, that's not a case in my book.
No. Let's go to Jody, called in from Nevada on line 3. Jody, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. My question and actually a comment even is my belief in this is possibly that when Hillary lost the election, they gathered together and came up with this strategy, which they're carrying out, keeping everyone in thinking that this president is illegitimate. And at this point, the American public has just hated everything. They're just sick of it. We've spent millions. And now we are going to want them to look at our side very shortly.
Yeah.
So should we then maybe interject that within these conferences saying, hey, you guys, hey, we're listening to your side. You know, we want what the Constitution says because ours is coming up. And I think we just have to keep that in mind. Comments.
Yeah, no, I think. Listen, this was all going to Jody. They have wanted to go after the president multiple ways. I don't think this was the way they wanted to, by the way. They had their best shot with Bob Mueller. Okay, they had a special counsel with a team of you know, the top prosecutors who are now TV commentators. And they could come up with no Russia collusion. They could come up with no obstruction of justice. So now they're relying on themselves to do it. They had their special counsel moment. So yes, I do think from the beginning they wanted to go there. I don't want our country to fall into this. I mean, I hope this is not how we operate for the next two decades. I think we can be partisan at this. You know, you choose your sides, vote the way you want. But then you do have to get legislative work done. And you can't impeach everybody because of policy disputes. And I think they all have to learn their lessons every couple of decades about these moves. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at aclj.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are, you know, setting up the next two segments. We're taking your phone calls. Want to get a lot of feedback from you. A lot of feedback too. We're actually going to go back a little bit though, because I think this just puts what is important for everyone to understand. Let's flash back to the bow tie. George Kent, very beginning of the impeachment hearings, which literally just started less than a week ago. Doesn't it feel like, I mean, anytime I got to see Adam Schiff every day live for hours is a long day. And I can say that about many members of Congress. I might even say it about some people on my side of the aisle. You know, it's a lot to take. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of questions. It's a lot of content. It's a lot of opening statements, Stan, I will say. Why every day there needs to be a new opening statement by both? I don't know. I would have liked to say, how about neither of us have opening statements and we just go into our, you know, the witness can have theirs and then we have their questions. But every day when the cameras start, we get the 20-minute opening statements from both sides of the aisle. I'm not even being that more critical of Adam Schiff's, though obviously they deserve a response after getting them.
I've got bad news for you, Jordan. And first of all, I'll just echo the fatigue. I got to tell you, I am tired of this process, have been for a while, but I'm watching the coverage here in studio, Jordan, and good news, they've started a second round of 45-minute rounds where both the chairman and the ranking member and their counsels, their attorneys, because they're there to protect them, are going to give you another hour and a half of this. So I'm
before
not sure we're ever going to get to this afternoon's
before
hearing.
Before it gets to the rest right. of the people's questions. So this is, and they've got more people testifying today. There are more people testifying today. There's another round of two more people. So what are they going to do, midnight hearings to try and make the drama? I think so, actually. They're going to try to draw one of these days out until late. You know, they're going to try to, one, they're trying to, this is a witness who has admitted he has nothing. He cannot remember anything. He has no documentation of anything. And he never took notes in his whole life. I'm never a note taker. Favorite quote of the day from a witness. I don't take notes. Now, that's fine. But then as the minority counsel said, as the Republicans counsel, then that is the trifecta of unreliability. You remember nothing, you took notes of nothing, you have documents about nothing. And so that's why you get a lot of, you can kind of take this Sondland testimony and put it however you want. And listen, I think that's because some, that ambassador to the EU, you do operate, I mean, you've got staff, you have people around, but it is up to him if he wants to take notes, if he's on calls and things to remember. And it's just kind of bizarre, to say the least. But we will go right to your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Renee in Ohio on line one. Renee, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hey.
What exactly is the point of all of this? We are so close to the 2020 election, even if they were to find something that they could nail him to the wall about, it wouldn't make a difference. To me, this shows that the Democrats are scared. They're shaking in their boots that he is not going to get sent out of office in this next election, that he's going to get reelected.
Yeah.
And in turn, they're almost guaranteeing it.
Well, I do believe they're guaranteeing it, Renee. I think that when they opened impeachment hearings, they just reelected President Trump. Some of that is because I think they have no candidates on their side of the aisle. Literally, they don't have a star. The polls are all over the place, and now they're getting closer and closer to Iowa. And by the way, courtesy of this impeachment, if there is a Senate trial, half of those candidates will not be able to campaign in Iowa or New Hampshire.
That's going to be interesting, actually, to see how
because
that plays
they have
out.
To be there to vote on the impeachment. You have to be attending those hearings. You can't like just show up for the vote.
I'm going to tell you something that's interesting in the media that I'm picking up, and that is if you look at the chyron, it's kind of a way to tell what's going on. And so I just saw something in MSNBC, which I know Will's checking for me now. But literally, I think within 10 seconds, they had like two contradictory statements.
Yeah,
up.
No quid pro quo.
Quo.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
yeah. I've seen a lot of that. Even on the Drudge headline is messed up. And I don't say as much about Matt Drudge, but he's got it wrong. He's got the headlines wrong. He's saying all these. And some of that's
are we getting those now?
Some of that's to get clicks.
Will's got them. Go ahead and read them.
So the first one you have is Sondland, : Ukraine aid was part of the quid pro quo. And then it changed immediately to this next one. Sondland, : Trump never told me directly aid was contingent on public announcement of probes.
So this is what's going on here. So this is to base an impeachment, Harry, of a president on this nonsense is absurd.
Absolutely. And the witness, today's star witness, has admitted on a number of occasions that he is confused. But he's very, very clear when asked whether President Trump explicitly conditioned aid to the Ukrainian government on launching an investigation. His answer was very explicit, very clear. The answer was no. With respect to the caller's question, why are the Democrats doing this? I think the answer is also clear. First and foremost, the Democrats do not have a good candidate out there. So, for instance, over the last weeks or so, Elizabeth Warren has taken the lead in some national polls. She offers Medicare for all. And guess what? In her Medicare for All Act, she eliminates Medicare as well as private insurance for hundreds of millions of Americans. So guess what? Medicare for All means no Medicare under Elizabeth Warren's plan. And so this is the leading candidate, perhaps, for the Democratic nomination. That's why Deval Patrick has gotten in with a nod from Obama. And that is perhaps why Bloomberg is threatening to announce his candidacy as well.
So I'm going to ask this to Jordan and Than. So you're looking at let's assume that you got hearings tomorrow, and let's assume for a moment that that's it. Nobody knows that for sure, but it looks like this is probably it. What does this look like?
I mean, you know, this looks, I think to the American people, this looks like a sham. It was not clear. The case was made by the Democrats was you wouldn't want to hire any of them to be your lawyers and make a case for you because the timeline is not that long. Honest to God, the timeline is 3 months here. But if you have to figure out the dates that they're talking about, see, these guys, they got obsessed. This is a problem with a lot of the Democrats when they handle Trump. And it doesn't work with Donald Trump. It just doesn't. They got obsessed with dates, timelines. And they're throwing out all these dates. They're throwing out these timelines. But they're not, to the American people, they haven't built a clear one. And they've literally had, I mean, Dad, this is a week. It's a week. It feels like a month. And if you ask people, what is the president guilty of on the street? Do you think they could tell you?
No idea.
Do you think anybody could tell? I mean, maybe your caller out there. I mean, if you're watching these hearings, what is the president guilty of? I'll tell you what he's guilty of. Being independent. Not being controlled by Washington, D.C. bureaucrats. Not always following their stinking talking points. Which, by the way, he's probably is the first president who did say, I'm not going to just repeat what a bunch of CIA spooks want me to say on the phone call. I'm actually going to say how I feel about it.
Yeah.
And see how that goes. Now, he has gotten the consequences of that. They revolted against him. And they've been revolting against him since he came into office. Remember that. Jim Comey revolted against him. So you had the FBI, the CIA's revolts against him. You know, they had this ultra revolt against the president because he has said, I am not going to just read your talking points, 35-year-old who wrote talking points, who did this research. I'm not going to just read out what you and the CIA approved. You know what was interesting to me? It was Kurt Volker's testimony. I think his testimony was fairly fair, pretty straightforward. Listen to his background of who he is. The guy starts his career in the CIA and then magically shows up at the State Department, which, by the way, why a lot of countries know that when we send our ambassadors over, they're actually CIA agents in the State Department. It's not a conspiracy, by the way. Volker said it. He was CIA, who then moved over to state. These are people who are used to being able to tell presidents, regardless of what party they are, they don't care so much about our domestic politics, these guys. Okay, so that's why they're able to serve other presidents. They're all about foreign policy, kind of American ideology, and they're very interventionist. They want to intervene everywhere. As if they didn't do this to Barack Obama, who wouldn't help the Ukrainians. But they said the reason why. The Germans were going to be upset. It may have caused too much. So they had reasoning behind that. But anyways, just remember, the president is in this position. You chose him because he said, I'm not going to just take their word for it anymore. All he's asking them to do, I think, Dan.
Yep.
And I think from knowing the president now for a couple of years, this is true about his personality, is that if you're going to make assertions, you have to back them up.
Right.
So if you're going to say to the president, here's the talking points, back those talking points up.
Doing that because you're questioning their foggy bottom view.
Then it's an impeachment.
Yeah.
That's what he gets for this. That's what he gets for asking questions. But he's got the American people. At least he had the American people elect him. This will be the second opportunity to see if the American people will stay with him because he has governed the way he said he would and taken the pushback. And I think the fallout for what governing actually being a disruptor, actually being drain the swamp, this is what will happen to you. So are people going to stay by him? And that is the question, right? And that's what we want to hear from you, 1-800-684-3110. We'll continue to take your phone calls. Remember our matching challenge at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40, a $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at aclj.org.
Back to the Yes, everybody. We're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. We're going to go right to those in a moment. I have one question I want to ask all of our panel. I think it's important for our audience to hear, and that is, and I'll answer at the end, the impact of this so far. We are now into this, getting near the neck. This could well be tomorrow. Fan could be the last day. How do you see this right now?
I think this is the beauty of having free and fair elections, Jay. I think ultimately the American people are going to see through this noise. They might not be able to sift through all of the testimony, Jay, but they're going to see that it's basically a bunch of people that see a similarly situated event from different vantage points. And by the way, Jay, we'll help people put things together. The ambassador today said there was no linkage for the president between these conditionality. But one of their other star witnesses, Jay, George Kent from last week, he actually testified that Congress has put conditionality on these funds. And one of those conditionalities, Jay, it's corruption reforms.
Huh. We have that. We actually have that audio. We got it. Let's play it.
Bowtie guy.
There are and always have been conditionality placed on our sovereign loan guarantees for Ukraine. Conditions include anti-corruption reforms, as well as meeting larger stability goals and social safety nets. The International Monetary Fund does the same thing. Congress and the executive branch work together to put conditionality on some security assistance in the Ukraine Security Assistance Initiative.
So let's have an impeachment investigation on conditionality, except conditionality is standard operating practice. All right, Harry, how do you see it?
Well, I think the Democrats are incredibly selective. So it's okay to put conditions on the reception of aid from the United States when the Democrats insist upon it, when Congress insists upon it. But when President Trump insists upon it, well, that is a crime. That's number one. Number two, I think it's very important to note that most recent polls suggest that independent voters increasingly decline to support the impeachment inquiry, in part because A, it's a bore, B, because it does not incriminate anyone.
Yep. Jordan?
No, I mean, there's just no, these are not good witnesses. They're either extremely matter of fact, I think like you just heard with George Kent, or they're Gordon Sondland, who brags about not taking notes. So that's going to be your star witness? I got no notes on anything. I've never taken a note in my entire life. I can't get the documents or other people's documents. I've only got access to my emails, which, well, by the way, that should be enough.
Exactly right. Right.
Right? I mean, and yes. Your phone. He's got his phone.
Yep.
And by the way, so I have no notes. I got no memories.
Limited information.
And then he actually said, when he was called out by this, you're the trifecta. The trifecta of unreliability is what he's literally called. And his pushback is, I'm dealing with limited information here.
All right,
that's it. I mean, that should, again, like we've said, this should be the end. That should end today, you know, and then we've now. But the way, that's what the networks did. They said, all right, let's stop having the American people, the daytime TV viewers watch this.
They were all tuned in for that opening statement. And then once it goes under the spotlight of cross-examination, who's on it right now, Will? Who's on it right now? Do we know? Just CBS. Here's my takeaway. MSNBC, this is the Chyron. I'm going to read it to you. Sondland, Trump never told me directly aid was contingent on public announcements of probes. Then very next Chyron, adjacent, the next one, MSNBC, Sondland, Ukraine aid was part of quid pro quo. Not yes. I mean, come on, folks. You know exactly what's going on here. Let's go take some calls.
Yeah, right to the phones we go. 1-800-684-3110. We're going to go in order. Cole calling from California, line 3. Cole, a lot of these congressmen are from the other side of the aisle asking them, including Adam Schiff. Hail from your state, but so does Devin Nunes.
Right.
A lot of Californians involved in this process.
Yeah.
Hi, team. Thank you.
Yep.
With these proceedings not going the way the Democrats had hoped, what, in your opinion, do you think it'll take for the light to go on? I mean, I don't mind them shooting themselves in the foot over this whole thing, but what I really resent is the time and the taxpayer money that's being wasted on this charade, not only to mention the fact that they're making a laughing stock of our American governmental process.
Look, if they go forward with some kind of impeachment based on this, which I think would be absurd, let me tell you what, you know what, this is like trying a jury verdict and a jury trial, and you know the verdict. There's no way that there's going to be a removal from office in the United States Senate. They lose before they start. Yeah. So, I mean, it'll be, if they do decide to do it, it's pure politics, pure theater. That's all it is.
Because their candidates are so weak and they think that it's worth taking the risk of impeachment, which has never worked. But they think then it's worth taking the risk of impeachment to dry and dirty up the president before the election, I guess.
I think that's an awfully risky political calculation. And I would just very succinctly answer the caller's question, where does this all end? Jordan, I really think it ends with an intervening election. I think that's the end game here.
Harry, how do you think that plays? I mean, that's a good question. I mean, it is 11. We got to go right to the phones after this. But 11 months out from an election.
Absolutely.
And they're doing this.
Well, but I think it's a testimony to this one fact and this one fact only. The Democrats do not believe that they can beat President Trump in a fair election. So they are trying to dirty him up. In some respects, this is an extension of the insurance policy that Peter Strzok and Lisa Page were talking about three or 4 years ago.
All right, let's go ahead and take another call.
All right, right back to the phones we go, and we're going to go just in order, do as many as we can. Eric in New Mexico, line two. Eric, welcome to JSEC Hill Live.
Hi, Eric.
Hi, I'm a veteran and proud supporter of the ACLJ.
Thank you for your service.
Oh, no, thank you. My question is, what's next? Once this impeachment thing fails, are they going to start working with the president, or are they going to come up with another sham?
Another sham.
They're going to... Russia,
this will keep coming.
No Russia. Obstruction. Ukraine. Oh, yeah, we better go back to Russia. That was Monday. That's over with. Now we're back to Ukraine. Now there is no quid pro quo from like 12 witnesses.
Yeah, and so... We talk about the next red wave. It's in our book, and you realize this from Mueller. When they didn't get from what they wanted from Mueller, it was very clear right then, in the eyes of Adam Schiff's, they couldn't let go. So you couldn't just now listen. They're on the other side of the aisle. They could oppose the president politically, and every policy point they can criticize his style, criticize his rhetoric. But the only reason that the president's getting into shifty Schiff. You know, and these back and forth is not because Shifty Schiff is on the other side of the aisle and a Democrat. That's not why he's getting into this with Nancy Pelosi. And it's because they are trying to take him down literally through every process they can outside of elections.
Well, they tried the election. That didn't work. They tried the legal process. That didn't work. Now they're trying to impeach a political process.
When they had a special counsel, that was their best shot. Because you had all those guys investigating the president,
that one, I have to say. All right, let's try to grab the last call.
Yeah, let's go. We're going to go John, Texas, line six. Hey, John.
Hey, yes, John here.
Yep.
Listen, I was a Democrat back in 1960. I became a Republican, and then I became an independent in 2009 because Republican Party doing what they did. I mean, Bush.
Okay.
But I've been with Trump all along, and it sounds like the Democrats they can't stand his constitutional stand, and
they don't like the policies. This has become a politicized impeachment proceeding over policy disputes because they don't like the president's policies. That's what it is. Hey, folks, that does it for the broadcast today. Let me encourage you. We are in a matching challenge campaign. We pulled a little bit ahead, which was nice. For November going into the last kind of week here. But your support of this makes a big difference.
Yeah, that's right. I think takeaway from today's hearing for everybody, trifecta of unreliability is what Gordon Sondland's testimony was all about. Trifecta of unreliability. He took no notes. He can't remember anything. He has no access to any documents. Other people's documents, by the way. He's got all of his documents.
Yeah.
They didn't help him because he never took notes. And I guess no one around him ever took notes. His giant staff is ambassador to the EU. But anyways, remember, that's the takeaway. Remember this, we've got our matching challenge, ACLJ.org. Whatever you donate to the ACLJ is effectively doubled because we have a group of donors this month to say we'll match all the donations that come through. But you've got to make the initial donation to get the match done. So go to ACLJ.org and donate today. We will talk to you tomorrow. We'll cover two more witnesses today after Sunday.
I can't wait. Talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.